Good morning, everybody. The Bible reading this morning is from James 4, 13 to 17. Graham will be speaking on his series, The Heroes of the Faith, with his sermon on My Life as a Vapor. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while, for a little while, and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins.
It's September 1st, 1983, and Becky Scruton boards Flight 007 in New York City, destined for Seoul, Korea. It was 1 year before that Becky had sat at the bedside, hospital bedside, and had watched her husband slowly die of cancer. He passed, leaving her to look after their two daughters all on her own. It's as that only minutes after her husband passed in that hospital room, sitting quietly by his bedside, she began to sing the song, It Is Well With My Soul. The nurses that were there, their eyes welled up with tears. Now, it's 1 year later. The loneliness has gotten to Becky, and she decides that she will take a trip to Seoul, where she's going to be with her parents. Her father is a civil contractor working with the U.S. Army in Seoul, and she decides she wants to go and spend time with them. So she has a friend look after her two children, and she boards that plane. That plane will never arrive at its destination. Along that route, that commercial jet is reportedly said to enter Soviet airspace. And the Soviets bring a jet fighter to come and shoots down that airliner. 269 passengers and crew, all dead, including Becky. She had no idea when she set foot on that plane that day she would be joining her husband. And yet that's what life is like. There's a book that I have in my library entitled The Hinge Factor. And the subtitle on it is How Chance and Stupidity Have Changed History. And in one of the chapters, it talks about an August morning, a silver-gray super fortress rumbles down the runway. The plane is the Enola Gay, and the pilot was a U.S. Air Force Colonel Paul Tibbets. And this aircraft carried a bomb, a big bomb. When Tibbets and his crew of 12 took to the sky, he was provided with four possible targets, which one he had to decide for himself. His orders from U.S. Air Force General Thomas Hardy were quite specific, to deliver the special bomb to a target, depending on good weather, to be dropped onto one of the following targets: Kokura, Niigata, Hiroshima, or Nagasaki. At 7:42 hours in the morning of August 6, 1945, while cruising at 26,000 feet above the Pacific, Tibbets received a coded message from a meteorological observer in the scout plane, one which had preceded the Enola Gay by 30 minutes. One target was obscured by clouds. Another had only limited visibility. But one mark was in clear sunshine. The big bomber turned on to its final heading because of a message which read, cloud cover less than 3/10, advice, bomb primary. Due to the fact that this city didn't have clouds, that it was experiencing a clear and sunny day, due to that, a bomb, a hydrogen bomb, would be dropped in their midst. And hundreds of thousands of people, their lives would vanish just like that. All these lives changed simply because they enjoyed a sunny day that day. Life is unpredictable. Our lives are uncertain. And our lives are incredibly fragile. The question is, knowing all this, knowing the uncertainty of life, how do we then live? Understanding that our lives can disappear just like that. Knowing that, how ought we to live? How ought we to live every day? It's a good question. It's a real question. It's a biblical question. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James. James chapter 4. James is going to address, James was the half-brother of Jesus. And he's going to address this issue about the fragility and the uncertainty of life. It's a new year before us. What's your year, 2009? What's it going to look like? I believe this is an important message for us. Important reminder as we think about our lives. Look at what James writes in James 4, verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Really? Life can be uncertain. Do we need reminding of the uncertainty of life? Yeah, we do. Because, you know, the problem is that we fall into this delusion where somehow we think we're actually in control. We fall into this delusion of thinking that we can manage our lives and we can orchestrate all the things in our lives so that everything works out just the way we want it. It's a delusion. The story is told of the great general Napoleon. When his armies were controlling Europe, he was looking at some attack plans and thinking about them. And one of his aides piped up and said, "General, you need to remember, man purposes, but God disposes." And Napoleon turned his head and he said, "I dispose as well as propose." The attack plans they were looking at were the invasion of Russia. And if you know your history, you know that when Napoleon's Grand Army went into Russia, they came out decimated. It was over. All of his genius, all of his leadership, all of his ability meant nothing. What is the danger for us? In 2009, the clear and present danger for all of us, it's the danger of arrogance. We think we're running our lives. Look at what it says in verse 14 going on. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? Do any of us know what's going to happen tomorrow? Do any of us know for certain that we are even going to be here tomorrow? The answer is, of course not. You think Becky knew that when she stepped on that plane, that was going to be her last day on this earth? You think the people that woke up that morning in the city of Hiroshima and they got their meals and they got dressed and they got cleaned and kids went to school and people went off to the... Did they have any idea that their lives were going to be coming to an abrupt end? Holidayers in Bali on vacation, having a good time in a nightclub, bomb goes off, boom. It's their last day. You think you're in control? Think again. Look what it says in 14b. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Can I see this picture? I've got a photo. Here's a face. Famous Hollywood star from years gone by. Her face graced the cover of magazines. She starred in films alongside greats like Clark Gable, Fred Astaire, Betty Davis, Humphrey Bogart. Imagine, in her time, in her heyday, when she walked down the streets, people flocked to her and they wanted her autograph. She was a star, making money, famous. Do you know her? Do you recognize her? It's interesting that someone said, when two or three gather who love the cinema, this woman's name is on their lips. And yet, decades and decades later, you're looking at this picture, and for, I would guess, almost all of you, you don't even know who she is. Do you know the name Mary Astor? Big star. Celebrity, famous, that's her. In her day, loved and adored. And for many of you, you don't even know her. That's what it's saying. Our lives are like. We're here, and they vanish. Here's this woman, in her day, big celebrity, and today, forgotten. Right? So what is James trying to say? Verse 15, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Jesus spoke of a farmer in Luke 12. This farmer, he was so successful that he did not even have enough place to store all the harvest that he was bringing in. So he said to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll just knock down my little barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And then Jesus says in the story, he says, and then the man said, I'm going to take life easy. I've arrived. I've made it. I've built myself a life. He says, I'm going to take life easy. I will eat, drink, and be merry. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, you fool. For this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Your last night. He thought he was in control. He thought he could secure his life. Jesus said, you're a fool. You know what James is trying to say to us? He's calling us to factor God into our lives each and every day. Some people have read this when it says you ought to say if the Lord wills, and people have said, well, maybe we shouldn't be involved in forward planning. No, that's not what it's suggesting. We still should be. It'd be foolish for us not to be involved in that. And some people have this way every time they say anything, they throw in the words, Lord willing, Lord willing. I don't even think that's necessary. It's not about having these words or having some formula that we speak, but it's about living our lives each day with a certain set of convictions. A deep set of beliefs that undergird our lives each day. One of these convictions is that God sees the big picture and we don't. God knows the future. So much of life is a mystery, and this is why we are called to trust Him. Things happen and we can't figure it out. We don't understand. Do you understand there's a verse in the Bible in Romans 8:28, and it says, God works all things together for good to them that love Him. And you say, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that that good is going to necessarily be immediate good. It doesn't mean that that good is going to be personal good. But it does mean that God is at work pulling all things together for ultimate good. The big picture good. And this is why the most repeated phrase in Scripture is, the just shall live by faith. We're called to trust in God and to lead each day knowing that there's a God, and I may not understand it, but I place my trust in Him. He sees the big picture even if I don't. There's another factor to this in considering God, factoring Him into our life. God has a calling and a destiny for each of us. It's a calling on your life. There's a destiny. I started by telling you the story of Becky who got on that plane, flight 007 to Korea. After the crash, they went around and they were interviewing people who had been lost. And one of Becky's friends said, Becky had told me before she got on that plane, she said, I was praying that the Lord would give me an opportunity. Whoever sat on my left, whoever sat on my right, the Lord would give me an opportunity to share something of my faith with them. Think about that. They had no idea that this was going to be their last day on earth. And yet she was thinking about how can I express my faith, something of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to somebody sitting next to me. You think about it, it's possible that there's somebody in heaven right now because Becky got on that plane with the prayerful determination to say, I want to share my faith. Are you living with eternity in mind? Tracy and I, we want to be good neighbors where we live. But, you know, that doesn't mean we want to connect with these people around us. But we don't want to do that just so we have good relations and everything will be peaceful in the neighborhood. We like that. We don't do it because we like to be liked. We do like to be liked. But you realize there's something even greater than that. And you know what that is? That is that we could be a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ right there in Settlers Green. That's our calling. That's part of our destiny. What about you? How does God factor into your daily choices and your everyday routine? Look at what it says in verse 16. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. So God is not only saying, it's not only delusional, it's actually evil. You're kidding yourself. You're putting your trust in something other than the living God. And then verse 17, James writes, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and he doesn't do it, sins. See this $50 note? Imagine this has been given to you, and the question then is, how are you going to spend it? Every one of you might spend it a little bit differently. Would you go out and spend it on yourself? How would you spend it? Would you spend it with God's purposes, with His glory, with His kingdom in mind? Your life in 2009, this year that you've been given, it's like this note. It's a gift that's been given to you. The question remains, how will you spend it? How will you invest it? How will you use this gift that God's given you? The 365 days that are in 2009. James comes back and he tells us, people, pursue righteousness. Knowing that life is uncertain, knowing that life is fragile, knowing that life is unpredictable, do what is right. Pursue righteousness. Becky didn't know it was going to be her last day. What a wonderful testimony. Right up to the end, here was a woman pursuing righteousness. What about you? Let me read a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy, the name literally means the second giving of the law, the second law, where the people of Israel were just about to enter the promised land, and God repeats His covenant, and He repeats all of what He expects of these people. And this is what He says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, and it's great because it's appropriate to us. And He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commandments, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your hearts will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hand have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your forefathers, as it is today. When you settle down and you're brought into the good land and you have a fine home and your wealth increases, are you going to remember the Lord your God? Are you going to live for Him? Or are you going to let your heart become proud look at what I've done. Or you can say, thank you, Lord. And now I choose to live for you. Our lives are meant to be lived with God and for God. It's really simple. The question is, what are you waiting for? I want to read a story. It comes out of the Los Angeles Times. By a woman named Ann Wells. She writes, my brother-in-law opened the bottom drawer of my sister's bureau and lifted out a tissue-wrapped package. This, he said, is not a slip. This is lingerie. He discarded the tissue and handed me the slip. It was exquisite, silk, handmade, trimmed with cobweb of lace. The price tag with an astronomical figure on it was still attached. Jan bought this first time we went to New York, and at least 8 or 9 years ago. She has never worn it. She was saving it for a special occasion. Well, I guess this is the occasion. He took the slip from me and put it on the bed with the other clothes we were taking to the mortician. His hands lingered on the soft material for a moment. Then he slammed the drawer shut and he turned to me and he said, don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Every day you're alive is a special occasion. I remember those words through the funeral and the days that followed when I helped him and my niece attended to all the sad chores that follow an unexpected death. I thought about them on the plane returning to California from the Midwestern town where my sister's family lives. I thought about all the things she hadn't seen or done or heard. I thought about the things that she had done without realizing that they were so special. And I was thinking about his words, and they've changed my life. Someday, one of these days, they are losing grip on my vocabulary. If it's worth seeing or hearing or doing, I want to see and hear and do it now. I'm trying very hard not to put off, hold back, or save anything that would add laughter and luster to our lives. Every morning when I open my eyes, I tell myself that this day is special. You have a calling. You have a destiny. God calls you to walk with Him. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Would you bow with me in prayer? Life is uncertain. And life is fragile. Some of you here in the sound of my voice, you have broken relationships. You haven't spoken. There's been no forgiveness and no healing. And my question to you is, what are you waiting for? Pursue righteousness. Some of you here have family members. Some of you dads have sons and daughters. When was the last time you put your arms around them and you said, I want you to know how much I love you? How special you are to me. What are you waiting for? Some of you have a Bible. It's on a bookshelf at home and you know exactly where it is and it's sitting there collecting dust. What are you waiting for? find your calling. Pursue your destiny. Pursue righteousness. I'm going to give you a moment to bring before the living God whatever's on your heart right now. Just pray quietly. Father, it's a new year, 2009. We don't know what the future holds. For some of us, this may be our last year. We don't know. But we know it was meant to be lived with you and lived for you. So, Lord, enable us to be intentional in this. Grant us grace and strength that we may follow you and we may pursue righteousness each day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.